Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
reading from the book of Revelation. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
It was the festival of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. As many of you probably already know, my husband is a lifelong fan of the St. Louis Cardinals, having been born and raised in that illustrious Midwestern city. A couple of days ago, our older daughter sent him a text message from another St. Louis native that read, "I prayed the cardinals would make a change in leadership this year. I should have been more specific." The intense interest in the change in leadership in the Roman Catholic Church is not surprising. After all, the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, is the head of a denomination with approximately 1.4 billion members worldwide. Additionally, some of the biggest decisions made by the Roman Catholic Church are done in secret, or at least behind closed doors, leading to a sense of intrigue. It's been fascinating to watch people trying to determine what kind of leader the new pope will be based on indirect cues, like what he wore when he stepped out on the balcony, or the name he chose for himself, or in what must be a first in papal history, which Chicago baseball team he favors, the White Sox or the Cubs. The Bible itself has a lot to say about leadership, and for Christians, it probably goes without saying, the ultimate leader we should be following is Jesus. Those entrusted with leadership authority on this earthly plane are supposed to follow in his footsteps, meaning we are followers as well as leaders. What we sometimes forget, though, is that all who follow Jesus have authority in his name. And so every one of us is both a shepherd and a sheep. We hear this most clearly at the end of the baptism service, when both the priest and the whole congregation welcome the newly baptized with the words, "We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood." We, all of us gathered there, receive the new Christian into the household of God, which is us. And we are all responsible for the basic priestly functions of confessing the faith and proclaiming the resurrection, because we all share in Christ's eternal priesthood. This is a truly stunning theological claim, reminding us at a minimum that we are all responsible for the well-being of the church and all its members. In our faith tradition, the comparison of a good leader to a shepherd goes back millennia, well before the time of Christ. Jesus would have been familiar with the image from the Psalms and other literature that compared faithful kings to good shepherds, and most especially that called out Yahweh as the shepherd of Israel. The Gospel of John makes the strongest claim in the New Testament for seeing Jesus as not just a good shepherd, but the good shepherd, the complete embodiment of a good leader who is good precisely because he adheres so closely to God's will. Now, if we want to get something deep from this metaphor of shepherding, something more than the merely sentimental, we have to push through cliches that many of us have learned, including those Sunday school pictures of a scrubbed, clean, radiant Jesus with flowing blonde locks, gently cradling a fluffy white lamb in his arms. Shepherding doesn't look like that. Shepherding is hard and dirty work. As Pope Francis was famous for saying, a shepherd should smell like his sheep. Or her sheep, I guess I should add. Shepherds in traditional cultures live with their flocks, whether sheep or goats, by the way. They are in among them, walking the same ground, getting their hands and feet dirty, and pulling members of the flock that have gone astray out of thickets or thorns when they get stuck, tending to their injuries and illnesses. Good shepherds, as Psalm 23 reminds us, offer guidance and protection as well as nourishment. As Christians, we pray that we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of his flock. And I'm guessing that most of us, if we take a moment, can think of ways that God has guided, protected, and nourished us, not just as individuals, but as communities. Living in this agricultural region that we do, it's hard not to conjure up images of good pastures and green valleys that we have seen all around us. Just walking through the farmer's market on a Saturday morning, how can we not be astonished and grateful for being placed in a world that provides so much more than mere survival for us? Caring for creation is such an urgent call in this time, but I experience it also as a joyful vocation to fulfill. The earth cares for us, and we care for the earth, showing again how we are made by God to be both sheep who are fed from the goodness of creation and shepherds who intimately, tenderly care for the earth and one another. Shepherds protect their flocks from those who wish to do them harm, whether natural predators like wolves or rustlers, those thieves who see sheep as mere profit and not as creatures in need of care. Jesus mentions that in today's gospel, reminding us that even as we seek to follow his voice, there will be others who try to drown out his words of comfort and guidance. It is easy to be led astray by false leaders, those who see the world only in terms of how it will line their pockets or give them more unearned power. But Jesus stands against that and says, no one will ever snatch us out of his hand, just as the good shepherd makes sure that even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no evil or harm will come to us. Now, I know that in times of hardship or anxiety, it can be hard to believe those words. So I want to end with a story of a woman who was an example in living out this belief in a God who will never abandon us, even when the worst happens. Eddie Hillesum was a Jewish writer in Amsterdam during the time of the Nazi occupation. She chose to do everything she could to help her fellow Jews, even to the point of refusing all efforts from her friends to help her go into hiding. She believed that no matter what evil and madness was taking over the world, her calling from day to day and from minute to minute was simply to be attentive to the presence of the divine within herself and within others, and to be faithful to that as best she could. In this way, she found that even when she was in a Nazi death camp, her spirit remained free and her faith grew deeper. Through that, she showed us what it means to be, again, both shepherd and sheep, forever held in the hands of a loving God, and also determined to hold others in her own loving embrace. Her letters that she wrote during her time in Auschwitz have survived. And in one she wrote, "The misery here is quite terrible. And yet, late at night, I often walk with a spring in my step along the barbed wire. And then, time and again, it soars straight from my heart. I can't help it. That's just the way it is, like some elementary force. The feeling that life is glorious and magnificent, and that one day we shall be building a whole new world. Against every new outrage and every fresh horror, we shall put up one more piece of love and fresh goodness. We may suffer, but we must not succumb. Her goal, which she lived out until her life was extinguished in the gas chambers, was for her soul to survive without bitterness or hatred. And it seems that she succeeded. We know that there will always be voices trying to lead us away from the path set for us by the Good Shepherd. We need to discern which voices are drawing us to good pastures and which ones will ultimately cause more harm, division, and conflict. We can and we should listen to the voices of those who follow up their speech with action, who preach peace and courage and solidarity, and then live by those values. And then we can seek to do the same ourselves. If we do, we will never be led astray. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
By your grace, we are able to see your living presence through the willing eyes of our souls. Even as we acknowledge our moments of doubt, grant us the faith to follow your word and witness to everlasting life in your name. We pray especially for Bishop Megan, our parish clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, Anointed One, fill all those in positions of authority with the courage and humility necessary to triumph over the temptations of power and to govern with equity and reverence for all people and all creation. We pray especially for the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor of California, and our city and county officials. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, anointed one, restore wholeness to all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, and refresh the energy of those who give them care. We now join together to pray for those in need, especially those on our parish prayer list. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, anointed one, we pause in this moment to offer you our heartfelt thanksgiving for all the blessings of this life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, anointed one, you have broken the power of earthly death. Now bring light to the darkness of those who grieve, as all of heaven is alive with joy, receiving all those we love into eternal bliss. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Lord God in Christ, who was and is to come, release us from the limits of our anxious minds, and in so doing, free souls to seek our fulfillment in you. We ask all this through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the unwavering love of our Creator, together with you, reign as one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace with each other.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all who celebrate. I know many of you are moms and grandmas and stepmoms, or just serve that wonderful role of being a mother-like mentor in people's lives, and you are very appreciated. It's good to have so many of you here today. Our yellow sheet has lots of information in it, and we have lots of opportunities to get involved that we're highlighting right now. Some of them are kind of one-off volunteer things. We're looking to more regularly have groups from the parish who help with Davis Community Meals and Housing. So not just our, you know, parish representative at a given meal, but all of us doing it together. So we actually get to know each other as we're doing that work. So there's information about that in here and other ways that you can volunteer or get involved. We are also wanting to know who is graduating, usually sometime in June. We have a graduation celebration, and we're making plans for that, and we're going to have a student sermon coming up. And I also wanted to make sure that some of you are, I know there are some newcomers here, and in fact, if you're brand new, our ushers have goodie bags, welcome bags, and all you have to do is raise your hand to get a welcome bag. They're waiting for you in the back. But even if you've been coming for a while, if you're just looking to get more connected, if you want to get to know more people, or want to give us a chance to get to know you, this might be your first time here and you don't want to commit, but you can still come to the newcomers brunch next Sunday. You can come to the newcomers brunch if you were here and then we're gone for a while and still want to get to know people. So whatever your situation, if you sort of feel like you fit into that newcomer's role, we welcome you. We would like you to RSVP, so we know how much food to provide, but it is not too late, and please go ahead and contact the office to do that. We have a special announcement today from Bob Polkinghorn.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I'm here to talk with you very briefly about Project Restart. This is an effort within the diocese to have parishes fill 10 large bins with home products that are distributed to families who have been displaced by some kind of natural disaster. And as we sit here on this beautiful Sunday morning enjoying the spring, it's hard to imagine the horror of the fires and floods that families have faced in the past few years. But indeed, that happens, as we know. Our role with Project Restart is to fill, here at St. Martin's, is to fill 10 bins with bathroom products. And we will then have the bins blessed by Pamela early part of June, and we'll store those bins here on campus until the diocese calls for them. But in order to get to that point, we need to have you and me and all of us here take a product tag. It's done like this. It's very simple. This tag in particular has one bottle of shampoo, one bottle of conditioner, one bottle hand soap, and two bars of body soap. Pretty simple. And all that we need to do when you come to the back of the church in the narthex this morning is take it, take your portion off, and leave this with us with your name and email, and we're good to go. And then you bring the products back in the next couple of weeks. When we walked in this morning, our magic number, meaning how many more product tags we needed to hand out, was 29. Your job has been made one third easier. We now have 20. So 18. So get them while they last. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Bob. That is one of the, I think, the most wonderful things where SJNO, Social Justice and Outreach, has connected with the work in our diocese. It's very hands-on. It's very simple. And I am quite sure that our team has created a better, cleaner, more efficient system than anybody has ever seen in the Diocese of Northern California. You just can't go wrong. I mean, I'm somebody who loses every piece of paper anybody hands to me, but I'm going to have that shopping list, and they're going to have my shopping list, and we're going to make it work. So really, it's such a great thing. So help out if you can. We had a couple of announcements this morning of celebrations and milestones. So there was there were two birthdays, and there was our wonderful senior warden, Maria Kuhne-Feldman, announced that she has officially retired from her day job. So that was very exciting. Are there anyone else have a celebration or a milestone that you want to share? Yes, Yvonne. Oh. Well, happy birthday. Way in the back, and then I'll come up front. Kiko's always one. Wow. Talk about time flying. Yay. Yes. Sydney's turning two. Oh, we have all these kiddos. John Dolan. Oh, boy. Also, I wasn't here last week. I know you guys had a great Sunday. And some of us yesterday went and did the Woods to Waves hike-a-thon out in Sonoma. That is a fundraiser for St. Dorothy's Rest. Now that I've done it once, I feel confident telling you that you can do it too. And I know this because there are shuttles that will pick you up along the way if you have trouble getting to the end. So I was the slow one. I was bringing up the rear, but I completed 8 of the 12 miles. I felt pretty good about that. I think everyone else from St. Martin's pretty much did the whole thing. Colette almost did the whole thing, but she wanted to get back in our car, so she had to stop a little early. But we had Gabe and his brother Eric, and we had Bob Polkinghorne, and it was just a really wonderful event. So I hope we'll do more of that kind of thing next year. Now that we've done it once, we've been the guinea pigs. Okay, did I miss anything over here? Communion at the altar rail. Okay, you guys can do this. Remember that you're waiting for the ushers to get you, to let you in, essentially, and then you choose which side, as we've been doing for many months. This side is where you will have the bread intincted into the wine for you and handed to you. This side is where the bread and the wine are separate. You can't intinct on this side, but you can either drink from the common cup or not have wine. Either one is fine. And so when the ushers release you to come to the altar rail, remember to fill in from the back. Try not to walk around the back where the organ pipes are. We try to keep that space clear, but you fill in from the back. It shouldn't be too complicated, but you know, sometimes we get a little confused. Follow your neighbor, ask for an usher to help you, and we'll figure it out. But I think that's it.
Celebrations and milestones, prayer.
Oh, I forgot the prayer. I just did all the celebrations and milestones. I got excited. I'm sorry. Okay, page 4?
4.
Okay. We have a celebrations and milestones prayer that we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And of course, all are welcome to receive communion. The bread is gluten-free and vegan, and you are all welcome to come forward to receive. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Give me rest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting unto you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Blessed Martin and all your saints, we may gather in the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Christ and our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, and Father, now and forever.
Amen.
First in Spanish and then in English, let us say our Lord's Prayer. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No los dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace,
and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior. Amen.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.